appreciate the good singing this evening. It's been a blessing. I want to read to you just a little something. Ain't got a thing to do with where I'm. Well, I'll declare. Yeah, here it is. I want to read to you a little something. It kind of spoke to my heart. Maybe it will yours. I tried to say this last night at prayer, and I guess I butchered it up a little bit. This is a little book I try to read along, and this is a book by Alan Redpath. It's called Law and Liberty. And he says this in the book: if I'm prepared to sweep away those idols and get into living touch with the Lord, my life can influence not only this generation, but the next. I believe that, don't you? Then it says this, and this is what really spoke to my heart. God calls each one of us into His presence to worship Him, not to listen to sermons or music, but to get far beyond that. To get far beyond that, to come face to face with the living Lord Jesus. And whenever we stop short of that, we've stopped short of worship. What do y'all think about that? I believe that's right. So many times I think we're satisfied just to hear the singing and the preaching, but we ought to be striving to see Jesus. Well, I don't know, but that spoke to my heart. It surely spoke to me as I read that, and that's what I want. When we meet together, I want the Lord to meet with us. Now listen, you can't shout it out every time. It's not meant to be, but God can be with us. He can be with us. Some services are to encourage the saints, some's to educate, some's to challenge, some's to rebuke. I mean, that's what the Word of God is. That's what preaching is, reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering. Well, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. I want to just give you a few little things. That's where we're going to park at. And I'm going to do what I don't like to do. We're going to jump around just a little bit this evening. And I want to preach on the home and on the family. Maybe I'm teaching a lesson. Maybe I'm preaching to you young folk. I don't know. I just felt impressed. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3, and it talks about the wife submitting to the husband. And what I'm getting ready to say, it's going to go contrary to the flesh. I can tell you tonight, you may not say anything, but some will struggle with it. But here's what I ask you as we work our way through this. Here's what I want you to ask yourself. Is the preacher preaching the Word of God? And if I'm preaching the Word of God and you're trying to live right, you have an obligation to accept it. And it's not an easy thing. Really, it's not a popular thing that we're talking about this evening. But I want to just give you, I'll try not to keep you too long, just give you a few little truths. We may have to do this in two parts. But I want to preach on the home. First, I want to pray. I'd ask you to pray with me and for me. I really need the Lord's help this evening. I need His help. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. I thank you for the good singing. I appreciate the good spirit that we've had today. I thank you so much. Father, I ask you now, if you would, to be with us, help us. Oh God, I pray you'd open the hearts of your people and help me, Father, to have clarity of thought and clarity of speech. Oh Father, please do an eternal work in the homes of our church. Father, I pray you take the Word of God, and Lord, let it become not just, help our people not to just be hearers, but help us, Father, to be doers. Have your way now. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. All right, I believe I can say this. The homes, I think you would agree with this, the homes are the building block of society. If the devil can get the homes, then he has the schools. If the devil can get the homes, he has the church house. And on, the homes, this church is made up of families. And if he can get your home and your family, then he will eventually get our church. And that's where we're at. That's why it's so important. I think that's why there's such an attack on the home and on marriage and on godly homes and marriages. I think the devil knows if he can get that, he's got it all. And it's pretty close that'd be the case. This same-sex marriage, this sodomy and all that's going on, all that is attack against God's order on the home. That's what it is. And so we understand that. Now, I want you to hold your place there, and I'm going to try to flip and not lose you if I can. Matthew chapter 19. And maybe this is more a Sunday school lesson than it is a message, but it's what God put on me, and I'm going to share with you. And I want each family, each husband, wife, and family that's in this church to ask yourself the question, what is the spiritual condition of my home? What's the spiritual condition of my home? In Matthew chapter 19, I'm just going to give you a few quick truths, and then we're going to talk about husbands this evening. Matthew 19, verse number 5, the Bible says this, and said for this cause, let's read verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now really this is the plan for marriage. This is the basic plan of marriage, that a man and a woman make up a marriage. Make up a home. I understand that doesn't line up with the word, with the government and with popular opinion, but that's how it is. But here's the truth that I want to get to you this evening. It says this, that a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. He shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. Now many teach that purely physical. I do not believe that's the case. I believe there is a union there that goes beyond the physical, and that the man and the wife should become one. Some of you have said this to me, I can start a sentence and my wife will finish it for me. We've been together so long, we just think alike and do alike. And I think that's maybe where we're coming to. But I want to stop and say this to you young families. A family is not meant for mom and dad to be part of it as far as the marriage goes. It did say for a man to leave father and mother. And that doesn't mean you neglect your parents. I'm not saying that. But your parents ought not run your home. Amen. Are you with me on what I'm saying? I think there's been a lot of homes ruined and maybe marriages destroyed because mom and dad was the boss of a home they had no part of. Now listen to me. Listen to me. You need to love mom and dad, and you need to respect mom and dad, and you need to show them you need to show them proper honor. I believe that. But let me say it again. Mom and dad is not to run your home. You need to get that truth down. And the fact that the husband is to cleave to his wife, that tells me nothing is to come in between the husband and wife. Now, I believe that's Bible. It'd be hard to cleave if there's the children between you, wouldn't it? You know that's right. Now, let me just say this to you. Husbands and wives, I think the Bible teaches us that you're to love your spouse first and outside of God, first and foremost, even above your children. Now, that's a hard thing. That's easy preaching me to stand up here. But, we love our children so much. But I'm gonna say this. Maybe it's a bold statement. Maybe I ought not to say it. But I don't believe your home will ever be right until you love your spouse more than you love your children. And so you need to get that. You need to get those little truths down in your heart. And what can happen? Those children can drive a wedge between you and your spouse. And that's not pleasing to God. Y'all would agree with that, wouldn't you? Well, I think that's just a little truth that we can get out of that. And let me just go on to say, you ought not let anything come between you and your spouse. Now, you say, preacher, what can come? I've already said your children, your parents can come between you and your spouse. But can I say, it might be a brother or sister. It might be your running buddies. Do you know I've seen fellas who had rather be with their buddies than be with their wife? I want to tell you, I'm looking over this way. Jason, I ain't just preaching to you. I'm preaching to everybody. Here's what I'm saying. There's something wrong if you'd rather be with your buddies more than you'd rather be with your wife. There's something wrong. And you need to, if that's the case, you need to rectify it and do whatever you need to do to get your marriage where it ought to be. Don't let your buddies come between you and your wife. And I'm going to take it just a step farther. Don't let your activities come between you and your wife. Some people love, Ronnie, you're going to think I'm preaching at you, but I'm not. It's just what comes to my mind. There's men love hunting and fishing more than they love their wife. They love playing softball more than they love their wife. They love fill in the blank, riding a motorcycle more than they love being with their wife. Can I just say to you, something's wrong here? If the home is going to be right according to the Word of God, the husband has to love his wife supremely. Amen. That's just how it is. I know maybe that's not a popular thing, but that's how it is. Now, I just kind of wanted to lay that out for you. But then I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5. And God has a blueprint for the home and for marriage. I think one of the reasons we see so many failed marriages is because we have not lined our homes up according to the Word of God. I believe that. I just believe that. I think God's blueprint for the home will secure that home. It'll make it steadfast and unmovable. And so we come to chapter 5, and it's just the premier chapter, and we're gonna look at two or three little places. What, as a husband, what is your responsibility? Now, let me just stop and say this, and I'll probably say it again in a little while. I think one of the great problems of our day is we have immature husbands. I think we have, and please, I'm not trying to be mean or be hateful. I'm trying to help you. If your home's in trouble, I'm trying to help you. I'm afraid a lot of times women, ladies, marry a little boy instead of a man. He has a man's body, he has a man's age, but he has a boy's mentality. And it comes back to that playing and that lack of a sober mind, if you will, have that. And so I think we have some challenges there,
But I want to talk to you. I just want to look at a few things this evening about the husband. And there's so much I want to say. The husband is the head of the wife. That's real quiet. But that is the Bible. Now, that doesn't fit the women's lib, and that doesn't fit the proud, haughty spirit if a woman has that. But if the marriage is going to be right, the husband has to be the head of the home. Now, y'all don't have a problem with that. If I read it to you in the Word of God, would you believe that? I don't really have to, do I? You know that's in the Word of God. Now, here's what we have. We have personalities get in the way. It may be a passive man marries an aggressive, or a woman who is more aggressive than he is, and it's real easy for those roles to swap. I understand that. I understand there's men that needs to be maybe gouged a little bit more than others to do what's right. I understand all that, but the fact of the matter is God set the home up for the man to be the head and the wife to be in submission to her husband. That's how it is. Now, I really hadn't said anything y'all do not know. Now, right now, you, by the way, turn with me to Galatians 3:18. I want to give you a little disclaimer to go along with that. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Bible says this: wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands. But it doesn't stop there. It says, as it is fit in the Lord. Now, here's the great principle. We're to render to God the things that are God, and to Caesar's the things that are Caesar. I got on this in Sunday school hour. It's maybe I got in 1 Peter chapter 3, and this just started eating me up. I got on this in the Sunday school hour. You render to God the things that are God. You render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And can I just go ahead and say something else about it? You render to your husband the due honor due to your husband. But can I say, wives, and you'll never convince me different, your first responsibility is to God. Yes. If your husband tells you to go rob a bank, you have no obligation to be obedient. Now, I used an extreme example, but I'm trying to prove my point. We have an obligation, wives, you have an obligation to God first and your husband second. And if they're what they ought to be, there will not be a conflict in the home. That's right. You know that's right. They're trying to talk you into sin. Go drinking with me, or go partying with me, or go do this. Hey, your first loyalty is to God. I'm not trying. Now, here's why I'm fearful to say that, because there's ungodly women will use that against their husbands as a crutch to disobey. That's right, or to not submit, or whatever the right word I'm supposed to use. Well, here's what I'm saying, wives. You put God first and your husband second, and it'll work out for you. And a godly husband will appreciate you putting God first in your life. Well, what is the responsibility of a husband? Let me give you four or five little old points this evening, and I'll be through. Number one, the husband is to love his wife first and foremost. First and foremost. Let's look in our text in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Husband, love your wives. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Three times in Ephesians chapter number 5, the husband is told to love his wife.
Now, I'm going to tell you why a lot of ladies fight submission, a lot of wives fight submission to their husband. Their husbands do not love them like they ought to. I said this morning, I'm going to say it again. Husbands, you need to make it easy for your wives to submit to your God-given position in the family. You need to make it easy. I'm saying some of the same things, but I want you to hear what I'm saying. I had a lady come up to me who was a member of this church some years ago, and she said this to me. She said, every time you preach on the home, my husband treats me like a slave. He starts telling me what I need to do and what I'm doing. You go do this for me and you do that. I'm the head of the home. You submit to me. That's not the submission we're talking about. We're talking about she is to submit to a husband that loves her as Christ loved the church. I tell you what you ought to do, husband. You ought to carry the load in the home. That's right. Christ carries the load for us, doesn't he? Hey, she's to be a helpmeet. The wife is to be a suitable helper for the husband. That says the husband's the one to be carrying out the work, don't you see? Well, we need to get these things right. And you don't need to run me in the ditch. And husbands, you don't need to go home and start bossing your wife around. That's not what God had in mind here. So you need to understand that. And so first of all, the husband is to love his wife. And I think with love, and maybe what love is primarily, is a commitment. I think you need to be committed to your wife. You say, well, and by the way, this love ought to be an unconditional love. It's not based on her performance. If she performs to suit me, then I'm going to love her. But if she doesn't, I'm going to have a problem with it. Christ's love for us is unconditional. And if we're to love our wives, as Christ loved the church, we're to love them unconditionally. Are y'all with me tonight on this? Now here's the thing. We're trying to get our homes where they need to be. Husband, do you love your wife like you ought to? And here's the thing. We have a flesh. We have a flesh, and our flesh goes against what God wants many times. But really, if you love your husband, you love your wife right, I don't think it's going to be too hard for her to submit. It won't even seem like submission to her. It'll just be natural. It'll be a natural response to your love for her. I believe that. All right. So he's to love his wife. But then not only that, but he's to provide for his family. You know the provision for your family rests on the husband. Now, I know we're in a two-income society, and I'm not going to get into all that and this and that, but most of you all are one-income families. Many of you are. You're to provide. Now, let's just take our time, and let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, here's what you need to say. Is the preacher preaching it right? I mean, am I telling it right? Is the wife to submit? Now, here's what you may say. I'm not going to submit. Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to get upset with you for your non-submission. Don't get upset with me for preaching truth. I mean, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. In chapter 5 and verse number, let me see if I can find it here. Verse number 18, I believe it is. It says, I've got the wrong verse. Somebody help me with it. Where it says a man that doesn't provide for his own. I'm in 1 Timothy. Maybe that's where it's at. Let's see. I've got 1 Timothy 5 and 18. Verse 8. I put a 1 instead of a. But if any. Now listen what 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Now that's a harsh statement. I lost a family over preaching that once. I just preached what the Bible. That's what the Bible says. I didn't add anything to it. The Bible says this, if you won't provide for your own family, you've denied the faith and are worse than an infidel. Now here's what I'm saying, Dad. You ought to be a working man. Now I'm not talking about you don't have to physically work. You may work in an office. You may be an accountant. You may be whatever you are. I'm not talking about you have to get out and do manual labor. I don't think that hurts you if that's what God has for you. But you don't have. But you need to work and provide for your family. These deadbeat dads, I'm telling you, they're worse than an infidel. That's right. They denied the faith. Don't tell me you're saved and you won't provide for your wife and your children. There's something wrong somewhere in your life. I'm getting all worked up, but I ought not do it. I struggle with laziness. A lot of people struggle with liars and thieves, and I guess I do that too. But I really struggle with somebody too trifling to work. You can't help them. You try to help a lazy man, it won't be a week or two, he's needing help again, don't you see? Hey, you know what a working man does? He's helping himself, don't you see? You can help somebody like that. Somebody won't work, you can't help them. You can give them $1 million and next month they'll want to borrow 50 cents or a dollar to buy them a soft drink. You know why? They won't work. You cannot help a lazy man that won't work. By the way, the Bible says if you don't work, you ought not eat. Now, let me tell you young fellas something. Be workers. I'm already off my little outline. Be workers of some kind. And let me tell you young girls something. Don't marry a lazy man. They'll work you in the ground. I'm saying to you, God set this thing up. He set it up for the husbands to love the wife. He set it up for them to provide for their family. And that's what they ought to do. And when they fail to do that, the home suffers pressure. It shouldn't have to suffer. That's right. I think there's probably been a lot of divorce because children's been raised not taught to work. Amen. And they've grown up and they marry and they won't work. And it brings pressure on the home and eventually the home is dissolved. Amen. Listen, let me tell you young guys again, work. Amen. Work at something. Do something. Don't be a bum. Well, I won't just sit there and just keep saying that over and over. But let me just say this too. There's more than just providing financially. There's emotional provisions. Kids need help emotionally. They struggle. You see, you think, you look at your child and you say they don't have any problems. But let me tell you this, their problems are big to them. They're just as big to them as your problems are big to you. And God could look at our problems and say, "Ah, that's nothing. They don't have any problems." But aren't you glad He takes our problems serious? Y'all take your children's problems serious, Dad. You have a responsibility to that. Mine, then I want to say, you have a responsibility spiritually to provide for your children. Now, I'm just going to slow up a little bit and just talk to you. It's your responsibility, Dad, to see that your children's needs are met. Financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That's your job. You see, there's a lot of children being raised today and they get up 18, 19, 20 year old and they're still 12 and 14 year olds mentally. They sit around and play video games and I know some of y'all do and I'm not fussing at you about that as long as you keep it in the right perspective. But the fact of the matter is, hey, somebody was telling me about a divorce that occurred because the husband wouldn't do anything but play video games. Now, I don't know if that's so or not, but that's what they said to me.
And here's what I'm saying, Dad, mature your children. Do what you have to do to help them mature and get and be what they ought to be. You don't need an 18-year-old son that acts like he's 12. That doesn't speak well of your parenting. It doesn't speak well of your fatherhood. Now, am I being mean when I'm saying this? I'm just trying to help you. You see, if our homes aren't right, our little church won't be right. Here's what I'm saying, Dad, you're the provider. According to the Word of God. Now, if the wife has to work, she has to work. I'd be foolish to think. These wives whose husband won't work, she has to work. She has no choice. Maybe they've got a lifestyle that requires two incomes. Maybe she's single, never married, and maybe had a child, and she has to work. I'm not that unreasonable. I understand, but I'm just saying the responsibility on a home, the responsibility of provision falls on the husband. Now you do with it what you want, but that's what the Bible teaches. You would agree with that, wouldn't you? You know you would. So the husband, he's to love his wife unconditionally. He's to provide for his family. And then he's to lead his family spiritually. The father is to bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I just said that previously. That's spiritual provision. Your responsibility to mature your children spiritually. The church is supposed to back that up. The church is supposed to be a help to you, reinforcing what you've already taught your children. Well, that's right. Hey, if all your child's going to get is Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, it's not enough. They're going to be a casualty. Or there's a good chance, I should say there's a good chance, there'll be a spiritual casualty. They need a dad who says, here's where my child is spiritually lacking at, and here's what we're going to do to rectify and solve the problem. Are you young folks hearing me? You better take heed to what I'm saying. There's a generation out there that know nothing. Brother Brian goes in the school when it's going on or when you can. I know you've been limited with the COVID. But he goes in the school. They don't even know who Moses is. They don't know anything. And you know what they say? They say they go to church. They know. Am I telling it right, Brother Brian? They don't know any of the Bible characters. I want to ask you this. Are your children lacking? Let's just be honest. It's just the night crowds, just us. We might as well be honest with one another. Are our children lacking spiritually? I'm going to tell you one thing bothers me about our young people. They don't get into worship, doesn't seem like. I don't know why. I'd like to see some of them. I call it the Can't Help It's. I'd like to see them just get the Can't Help It's every now and then. You don't have to do it all the time, but I'd like to see that every now and then. I don't know if I was a dad and I had children in this church and they didn't worship, I'd be a little concerned about it. There ought to be some tears sometime. Isn't that right? Should some, I know some people's not as emotional as others, but every now and then should God not get on them and it show up on the outside? Here's all I'm trying to say to you. And I know you think I'm fussing at you, and I'm not fussing. I'm not. I'm just trying to, God just put this on me, and I'm just trying to pass it on to you. You want a preacher preaches what God gives him to preach, don't you? You don't want me to water it down and compromise it and sell it short. I know you don't. I preach too hard to you in times gone by. Nurture carries the idea of education, admonition of
of warning and training. That is your job, to train your children spiritually. By the way, training goes farther than instruction. It does. We had a training room in a factory I worked in one time. And what they would do, take a new hire and they would instruct them. And then they'd put them in the training room till they learned how to run the machine. And they had somebody watching them. They watched them like a hawk. Sometimes they couldn't get out of training. They couldn't get a hold of it. They left the company out of the training room. They let them go. But they would monitor them. They had to get better. Ever so often, they had a learning curve. And on that learning curve, you had to stay. If you did so much this day, a week from now, you had to do so much more. You had to keep getting better, you see. They were training them to be good employees. And here's what I'm saying to you, Dad. You have a responsibility to train your children spiritually. That's the Bible. That's how it is. And so, Dad, you've got a heavy load on you, really. You need a wife. You need a helpmeet. That's help, and the next word is M-E-E-T. That word means suitable. You need a help. You need a helper that's suitable. Wives, I'm preaching to you now. You need to help your husbands accomplish what he's responsible to see accomplished. Now, the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of wives, they have to be the spiritual head of the home. That home's sideways. That home's not what it ought to be, spiritually speaking. When the wife has to be the spiritual head to a spiritually dull husband, that home's out of order. I think that's the Bible. In fact, I know it is. Dad, you're the spiritual head. You set the tone. You set the direction. And then in 1 Peter, so we see this, the dad's to love his wife, he's to provide, he's to lead his family spiritually. But then I want to say this, he's to know his wife. Now look in 1 Peter, just hang with me. I'm going to let you go here in just a few minutes. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says this, and I'm going to go to verse 7, skip the other, and come back when I preach to the women. It says, likewise, ye husbands, this is talking about the responsibility of the husband. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life. Now, you're to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. What does that mean? Here's what I think. I think there's a lot of problems come in the home because the husband and the wife think differently. They think differently. Men and women think they're different. They think different. And I'm going to say this, and maybe it'll sound rough to you, but I think a lot of men treat their wives as if they're married to a man instead of a woman. You treat them the way you think it needs to be, and you don't understand that a woman's different. I believe that to be so. And so the husband has a response. Here, let me just say it simple to you. You have a responsibility to try to learn your wife. There's things that will set your wife off, make her angry, upset her. You ought to know what that is and stay away from it if you can. You ought not play with her emotions. I know I've preached all this to you before, but God put it on me again. What is it that upsets your wife? If you love her like you ought to, you won't want her upset, tore up, bothered, and worried. You won't want that. You have a responsibility to dwell with your wife Listen to me, you young married couples, to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Fellas, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Now, that's just four little old truths about being a husband that I have. What makes a poor husband? I mean, I have to spiritually speak. There's a lot of ungodly men that are trying to be good husbands. I don't want you to think I'm putting, if you're saved and trying to do right, you're a good husband, otherwise you're a bad. I'm not saying that. I think they're trying to be good. But what causes a godly man to be a poor husband? Number one is personal immaturity. With immaturity comes selfishness. That's a hard blow, but I think that's right. Have you ever seen husbands, it's their way, and their poor wife, they're just along for the ride. They don't even get a choice or a decision or a thought. And they've just married an immature man. Now, I'm going to tell you girls something. Don't marry immaturity. If you sense immaturity, stay away from it. Because if they're immature now, they're really going to be immature down the road. I mean, it's just how it seems to work. What causes a man to be a poor husband? Immaturity. I say it like this, and it kind of rubs raw, but there's a lot of so-called men that's kids in adult bodies. And you young ladies need to look out for that. Be aware of that. And watch for it. What else? What else causes a man to be a poor husband? I think when he chooses to travel a path alone and leave his wife behind. I've seen a lot of men leave their wife behind. They go this path and the wife is over here. Can I tell you young fellas something? Whatever you do, make your wife part of it. You're going to serve God, make her part of serving God. You're going to have this little activity in your life, make her part of it. I think that's important. Don't run this path and your wife over here. That'll lead to I don't know. Estrangement, maybe that'll just separate the two of you, and it'll break that common bond if you're not careful. Traveling a different path, other loves. Now, I've already touched on that. There's men that love everything in the world more than they do their wives. They're stealing the love their wives. They should be giving to their wife, and they're investing it in other things. Now I want to tell you, that'll hurt your home. Familiarity, pride, thinking. There's men think they've outgrown their wife. Wives think they've outgrown their men, their husband. They think they're more educated, more suave, more dignified, whatever it is, they feel like they've left their wife behind or the wife, the husband behind. I want to tell you, we're right back to the same thing. Take your wife with you wherever you go. Make her part of that. And I think probably I need to stop. I've got the lesson on the wives. I think I'll stop here this evening. And I just want to say this to you girls. When you're looking for a husband and you want to know if he'll be a good husband, I'll tell you a good measuring stick. See how he treats his mother. If he respects his mother and he's kind and good to her, he may be good and kind to you. But if he doesn't, you can be sure when the new wears off the marriage, you may very well be treated just like he's treating mom.
And I say to you boys too, you're looking for a wife. You look at how that girl treats her dad. If she respects her dad, she speaks well of him, and she honors him, then there's a chance she'll honor you and respect you. But if she's putting him down and ignoring the authority that he has in her life and not honoring him as he should, as she should, it may be when the new wears off y'all's marriage, you may get treated the same way. Now, am I preaching it right? Y'all telling me. I mean, I'm telling you where I'm at. Thank you, Brother Hill. I appreciate that. That's true. Now, this thing of marriage and the home, it's serious. I'm going to tell you, I've been through it in my own family with some of my family members. A broken home has far-reaching implications. I could weep over the children that's hurt. And it just can't be helped if it in the situation. Sometimes it just seems like that there's no way around it. But might has such far-reaching implications. Far-reaching. One fella said this: you get a divorce, and he said, that's saying it right. You get it and you never lose it. And I think there's some truth to that. I've never personally experienced, but I've watched people close to me go through it, and it's heartbreaking. And it's devastating to at least the ones I've been around. It's been devastating to their life. And here's what I'm saying: it's serious. And if our homes, you head of households, if our homes are not right, you're not doing what you're supposed to do, don't come in this church and think we're going to have God with us. We're going to have to repent and just be honest with God. And I understand nobody wants to admit they're not the right kind of husband, or maybe their home's not what it ought to be. But if we're going to get right with God, we have to be honest, don't you think? Are we going to play at this thing, or are we serious about serving God? Now, that's where I'm at. You say, preacher, it's not much of a message. It's what God give me. I'm wondering if somebody needs that tonight. I don't know. I wonder if we're too proud to admit it. Can I tell you what I think? I don't think there's any perfect marriages. I think we really need God to move in our homes and our lives. Let's bow our heads this evening. I'm through. I just wonder, maybe if God spoke to somebody's heart this evening, some head of household, and I just wonder if we'd be honest enough with the Lord. I just wonder if we would. I don't know. Would you be honest with Him this evening?